on, can you give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Come on, Jesus is not a golfer. Come on, you don't give him a golf clap. Give him a heaven praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands with me, Father. This is your place. This is your church. Oh, we want to follow right after you. Something special that has happened, continue to happen here. Lord, you didn't bring us all this way just to put on a production on a stage, but Lord, you brought us this way to preach the message so that souls can get saved, to honor and glorify your kingdom. Father, I pray that this word would fall on good soil. Remove me and place your Holy Spirit behind this pulpit, that he that has an ear, let him hear. Do something miraculous that wasn't done yesterday but can be done today for the destiny of tomorrow. Father, I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. And all the saints of God said, come on, give the Lord one more hand of praise. Can you do that? Praise the Lord. Well, it is great to be here with you this morning and just seeing what the Lord has been able to do these past couple of days has been tremendous. Why don't you go ahead and just take your seats here this morning. And I come from Hayward, California. It's right next to Oakland. I know a few people have asked. I said, Hayward, where is that? And we know what's funny is that my father wrote a message entitled, Where in the World is Hayward? Because my father was actually, he was from Santa Paula, Ventura, Oxnard, that area, and went to the home in Los Angeles in 1973. My father went into the men's home, drug addict, prisoner, in and out of jail, in and out of prison, homeless, didn't have no direction, had no purpose. The only direction he had was to shoot a needle in any vein he could find, did heroin, did everything you could think of. But God did a miracle within his life, gave him an extra few decades after that. And, you know, just seeing what God has been able to do. Went into the home in 73, got married in 76, had a handsome son in 79. I'm supposed to speak truth behind this pulpit, amen. Went to go pastor in 1981 there in the city of Hayward. And passed away in 2003. My mom took over the church in 03 to 2011. In 2011, myself and my wife, we took over the church, and we've been there ever since. We've had a great, great time there in the Bay Area. Go ahead and give the Lord a hand of praise for that. And one of the reasons why I believe today is also so special is because many years ago, I want to say it was like 1991, we did a concert there with a rap group. And if you know anything about my father was crazy. He was a nut. He didn't care what anybody said, like, at all. The only person really was Pastor Sonny. Pastor Sonny said, do it. You should do it. He'll do it. If Pastor Sonny said, don't do it, he won't do it. But anybody else, and I mean anybody, it could have been his mom. Mijo, don't do it. Okay, Mom, I love you, but I'm going to do it. Like, he would do it. He didn't care. Anything that would glorify God, he did it. He was willing to fail if it glorified God. That's the way my father thought. I'll glorify, as long as it glorifies God, let's do it. It may not be the best, but who cares? It glorifies God. If two people get saved, it glorifies God. If 2,000 people get saved, it doesn't matter. And that's the way he thought. So in 91, he did a concert. The name of the rap group was called Idol King. And I'll never forget, we were there. I was young. I was only like 12 years old. And we were there, and somebody came to my father and said, hey, Pastor Steve, there's another rapper in the crowd that wants to rap. And my dad's like, wait, hold on one second. You know, because, you know, back then, rap wasn't like a real prevalent thing. Rap was getting kicked out of churches a lot, like a lot. And we had already had JC and the boys a few years prior. We were very heavy in the rap gospel industry. My dad loved it. He really did. He would always say that if King David was alive today, he'd be a rapper. The Lord is my shepherd. Like, he would just... And so there was a rapper in the crowd that was there. It was a packed house. It was packed. Just like a room just like this. It was packed. And my father said, well, just hold on. We'll see after. We'll talk to him after. So I believe, if I remember correctly, my father talked to him after. He said, okay. You know, and he gave him his tape. He said, here's my tape. Or he had a tape or something. And I don't know, maybe it was an 8-track. I have no idea. He said, here's my tape. I'm a rapper. And back then, you really had to push it because people did not like rap. They just didn't. Not just gospel, just regular rap. They didn't like regular rap. So you had to push it. You had, you know, literally out the trunk kind of thing. And so the pushing, no. So my dad goes, okay, all right. Took the tape, took it home, gave it to me. And I began to listen to it. And it was pretty much, well, if I liked it, then okay, I'll get him. He said, okay, I'm going to get this guy. We're going to have him. And about a few months later, I think it was, or a year later, it might have been, my father said, okay, we're going to have a rapper, and it's going to be great, and his name is T-Bone. And everyone's like, who? Is that a steak? What is that? Like, and the thing was, he had already been kicked out of a few churches. And I'm not positive, but I think my father gave him the first Victory Outreach opportunity. I'm not positive. I'm not sure if it was San Francisco or if it was my dad. If it was Gilbert, was it my dad? Yeah, it was my dad. Because nobody wanted gospel rap. They just didn't want it. It wasn't good. They didn't like it. But my dad goes, no, we'll give him a chance. He's a PK. That's what he found out. He's a PK. We'll let him rap. So he came, and I'll never forget, rapped, had the DJ, had the dancers. Now, T right now, you're seeing him right now, he's skinny. He wasn't all that skinny, yeah. He was not T-Bone back then. He was Rump Roast. But I'll tell you right now, he was getting it. He was dancing. We're like, oh. You remember that dance? I remember you doing that. I didn't forget. You'd be doing it. I was like, hey, look at that. I was like, we are a part of a rhythm nation. I was like, look at that. And it was a buzz. I think it was Max and a few of the guys. It was they were up there dancing. And it was cool. We had a real, real good time. And from there, my father and him just, you know, he just loved his music, developed a great relationship. We had him a number of times there in the city of Hayward. And, you know, just being there from the Bay Area. And matter of fact, myself and T, we developed a great relationship. One of the days he goes, hey, you got to come with me to the city. There's this place over here. You're going to love this food. I was like, wow, this was like in the mid-90s, late 90s. He goes, you're going to love it. You know, the best Mexican food you're going to have. I'm like, I don't know. So we went, and we went to this place called La Taqueria. It was the best quesadilla I've ever had in my life. Then I had the tacos. I kid you not, I feel like Peter opened up the heavens and I could see Jesus as I ate this taco. And then I threw a little bit of salsa on it. I was like, oh my gosh, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then a few years later, it actually, true story, you can look it up later, won Best Burrito in America. It really is good. The best. If you ever come to San Francisco, to the Bay Area, you call me, you let me know. And people have taken me up on this offer. I tell them all the time, you come to the Bay, I'll take you, I'll pay for you. And so I've had a few people from L.A. come up just to say, okay, Pastor, where's this place at? And so I've taken them to San Francisco. Of course, San Francisco is a beautiful place, a great place. And I've taken them there. And every single person, I've taken Pastor Rick. I've taken Pastor Dell. I've taken Pastor Sonny Jr., Pastor Philip, just recently I took Pastor Ezra. Everybody, every single person I've taken, Pastor Rick, the only person that didn't was Philip. But all the rest of them said it was the best burrito they've had in their entire life. Is that good? I'm serious. Philip was the only one that said, oh, it's my top two. I was like, brother, you're lying in the house of God right now. Lying. But ever since he took me there, I've been a big-time ambassador for La Taqueria, and it's been a great, great time. We just have a great time, him and his wife and also his daughter. And I shared my wife's story the other day, and I know it touched them, of course, because of the adoption. My wife, who is not here right now, Just give her prayers. Just coming here to Albuquerque, the weather's a little bit different. You know, we come from the bay, and so then coming over, you know, that's sea level. Oh, up here, this is not sea level. This is, I'm high-fiving Jesus up here. You know, we're a little bit up right now. And so the weather's gotten my daughter and gotten my wife just a little bit. So the little bit under the weather, they're just kind of trying to breathe a little bit. So just keep them in prayer. She wanted to be here. But if you went onto my Facebook a few months ago, actually a few weeks ago, found out my wife, she's been adopted. She was adopted at the age of 4 years old, never knew her mother. When she was born, like Janaea or T-Bone was saying about Janaea, when their daughter was born, she was able to hold her. When my wife was born, she was given to an adoption agency. So she never knew her mom, never knew nothing. She was adopted at the age of 4 years old by a Jewish family. My wife grew up Jewish in the city of Oakland. So she was hood, and yet... Shalom. So my wife is actually more Jewish than she is Mexican. She was born in Mexico, in Querétaro, the city of Querétaro, state of Querétaro, Querétaro, Querétaro. And so she was there. So just recently, God gave us an opportunity. We had to do a research. We did 1 year of research to find out if this was her true mom, if this was her real mom. Her grandmother passed away recently. Her mom had passed away when she was 18. Her father, her adopted father, passed away when she was 9, so she really didn't have any family. So God opened a door recently to find her biological mother. And just 3 weeks ago, she went and found her real mom in Querétaro. It's a heavy story. I wish I had time to really share it with you. It was powerful, powerful. I was videotaping. I was crying. I'm not going to lie. I was crying. I was like, oh, my. It felt like a movie. You ever watch those movies and you're like, oh my gosh, Lifetime, this is so great, right? That's what it really felt like that. And just seeing, we found out she has two sisters, two brothers, and then we met their husbands, their wives, their children. So we met about 25 of them. When we were there, we met about 25 of her family, and we found out, me and my wife, we don't speak any Spanish. But everyone, all of them just speak another language. We had a translator with us. We found out that she has first cousins, first aunts, first uncles. These are all first. 300 family members in Querétaro. So when I say they didn't have TV, they did not have TV. Literally, they're on the farms. And so when you're on the farms, you make kids to have workers. Anybody born or from Mexico? You know what I'm talking about? Born or from Mexico? You understand? Okay. If you understand what I'm talking about, or even within that type of family, you could be black, you could be white, you could be anything, but you understand when you're there on the farm and, you know, hey, you got to have kids. That's how it works. So she found out one of her aunts has 19 kids, just one. Like, oh, my gosh. You truly are Mexican right there. I only have 4 kids with 19. You win. Here's a trophy. So recently our lives have changed for the better, finding out about her family. We found some nephews, some nieces. So it's been a tremendous, tremendous time on the roller coaster that God has put us on. It's just been awesome. We love it. And then also coming here to Albuquerque, I truly, truly love your pastors, Pastor Danny and Barbara. They are a great, great family to myself. Give your pastors a hand. Love coming here to Albuquerque. I don't come here to Albuquerque that often. They come over there. That's actually how I've connected with them a lot throughout the years, and also with their daughters. I've known their daughters for quite a long time, being there actually in the London invasion. I'll still never forget that. The London invasion, that was crazy. I think I was only 14. Natalie, I think, was like 15 or 16. And going out there, we had a great, great time in the Lord, and just even going throughout the years. And I remember her singing all the time. We'd be out there, somebody told. She would sing with Danny Lara and all that. It was crazy. And just having a real good time traveling. I had opportunities traveling with Straight from the Hood as well. Never came here with it, but now having the opportunity to bring the drama. My father wrote that drama in 1991, Shotgun. I didn't write it. My father wrote it. We just kind of made it a little bit more relevant. But just being a part of it here has just been awesome. Now, I don't know if this is a prophetic word, but I was like, man, T-Bone and Ronnie should get together and do something with the party's over. I don't know. I was just like, I know you think you're having fun. I don't know. I was just picturing it in my mind. I got my father's mind. It's just crazy like that. Just crazy like that. Like, ooh, if we could do this, put this together, get a little bit of this, it equals, Like, I just see it. I just see it. So, but I love it. I love hearing Ronnie sings. It's been awesome. I think my mom found out. She was jealous. She goes, I want to hear him sing. She loves hearing him sing. And so just been a tremendous, tremendous time coming here to the city of Albuquerque. Burque, I love coming out here. An awesome, awesome time. How many love your city that God has put you in? Come on, how many love your city? Can you stand with me here this morning and open your Bibles to Acts chapter 28? I'm not going to be that long, but I want to share with you a word that I believe the Lord would have for each and every one of us this morning. Acts chapter 28, our cast that was here last night, as soon as the drama was over, they ate and then they left. So they drove back 18 hours. They drove in 18 hours, did the play, and drove out. So that's a team of soul winners right there. I can get in the car, come over here. A few of them took a flight, but a lot of them got in the vans. They said, okay, Pastor, they took off work just to be here because they said, we want to come to the city of Albuquerque. So whenever you get the chance, you see them at World Conference or you see them somewhere else, give them a handshake, give them a high five, give them a hug, and just know that the blessings from Hayward have been able to come over here, and the blessing from Albuquerque has also gone to Hayward as well. Amen. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 28, verse 3, if you have it, say, mm-hmm. Oh, come on, I'm from the Bay Area. I'm from Oakland over here. You got to go give me a little bit of soul. If you got it, say, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There we go. Mm-hmm. Verse 3 says, Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper or a snake, somebody say snake, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess justice has not allowed him to live. But Paul shook the snake off. Somebody say, shake it off. Somebody say, shake it off. It says he shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. Look at your neighbor before you're seated and tell him, shake it off. Then you may be seated. Shake it off. Shake it off. Did you know that bad days happen to good people? Bad things can happen to good people. You could be in the perfect will of God and still suffer some effects that are not exactly all that great. Now, you may be in a bad situation even right now, but you got a choice. There is still a choice that you and I have. See, my friend, your response will determine your results. You can't control everything around you, but you can control what's inside of you. I want to take a look this morning at what's going on with Paul and how you and I can respond according to Paul's afflictions. See, in verse 1 of Acts chapter 28, it says, once safely on shore, we found out the island was called Malta. Now, I want to put into context what was happening to the Apostle Paul. This island, Malta, was the island that they became shipwrecked on. Now, when I say they, it wasn't just Paul, but it was also the guards, the soldiers, the prisoners. They were all on this boat, and they were in a storm that happened suddenly. And as the storm came upon their boat, it blew apart, it took apart their boat. And all of a sudden, as they were on their way to Rome, they found themselves on an island called Malta. Malta was not Paul's first destination. It wasn't on his ministry itinerary, but nevertheless, he found himself on this island. It seemed like what was called Malta. a setback. Somebody say a setback. Let me ask you something. Have you ever found yourself in a Malta experience? A place that you didn't think you were supposed to be, but nevertheless, you're there. Somehow, some way, this was not the place you are. I wanted to be married by now. I should have kids by now. You find yourself in a Malta experience where all of a sudden you're there on an island and you feel like you're the only one on the island. You find yourself in a depressed state. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody knows what I should be over there. I should be having this. I should already have a job. Matter of fact, I should be the owner by now. I should have 5 cars. I should have 5 houses. But here I am renting a room in the middle of nowhere. Why am I still single now? Brad Pitt should be my husband already. We all find ourselves in a Malta experience. See, Paul thought it was a setback because God told him to go to Rome, and this wasn't exactly what he had in mind. Now, what I've learned about God is that sometimes he takes us backwards to propel us forwards. Paul found himself in a waiting situation. Some of you might find yourself right now in a waiting situation. You might find yourself on an island called Malta. You don't want to be here. It wasn't in your plans, but you are here. The Bible says in verse 2 that the islanders showed an unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. One of my favorite movies is called The Usual Suspects. I don't know if you've seen that movie before. This right here, Paul was in a movie called The Unusual Suspects. In other words, these were the people that were not on Paul's or anybody's best friend list. The Bible says that these were barbarians. Matter of fact, some commentators believe that these were cannibals. Nobody went to that island because they knew if they went to that island, they weren't going to get off that island. These people were not known to be nice. But on this particular occasion, God turned enemies into friends for Paul and his friends. See, sometimes God uses people that are usually against you to be for you to help you get out of the crisis that you put yourself into. The very people that you ain't no way that these people are ever going to help me. Ain't no way this is ever going to happen. I don't know if you've ever seen the commercial before where somebody was broke down on the side of the road and they're changing a tire and all of a sudden these bikers show up. You ever seen that commercial? I think it's a Geico commercial. And there's like these 10 bikers. They all show up and da-na-na-na-na, bad to the bone, da-na-na-na-na. And here they got tattoos and the bike and the person's there. The bike stops. And all of a sudden here come the bikers and they're... And they changed the tire for them. Like, wait a second. You're bikers. You're bad people. You're helping me. Wait a second. You're on an island. You're barbarians. Why are you helping me? I don't even know. You don't even know me like that. Why are you? Sometimes God will put people in your life that you didn't even think were going to help you. But all of a sudden God says, no, I know you got yourself in this, but I'm going to get you out of it. And it doesn't matter who I use. I can choose whoever I want to. You ever notice that? God chooses who he uses. If God wants to choose and use the least, the foolish things of the world to confound your understanding, then that's what God wants to do. Wait, God, you can't use them. God can use anybody at any time, anywhere. Paul was in a crisis situation, and God used even barbarians. See, here we pick up the story. When you read the whole story, you'll find out that there was 276 people that got shipwrecked. The islanders now are starting to realize that most of these people aren't exactly law-abiding citizens either. They were prisoners. They're probably seeing shackles all over the place. They're probably seeing that these people are guards, these people are dressed differently, and these are prisoners. So all of a sudden now these barbarians are noticing that something is happening. Now Paul is tired and even cold. But he wants to be a help and an example, so he decides to gather wood for a fire. Now, as he gathers his wood for a fire, the Bible says that a viper or a snake bites himself on the hand. Now, I want to take a look at this really quickly about being bit by a snake. Has anybody ever been bitten by a snake before? Okay, a few of you. Now, as I was looking at this story, I began to look at this allegory for our life and say, what can I do to apply to me if I ever get bit spiritually? What should I do? So I began to do a little bit of research about what it takes to not get bitten by a snake. Now, I hope that you guys are ready for this, because you may think, well, I don't go camping. Well, some of you, if you go to church at one time in your life, you might get bit by a snake. It might not slither on the floor, but it might slither its way next to you sitting in a seat. Okay, now you understand where we're going with this. Now, as I began to do a little bit of research, I looked at this. What do you do when you get bit by a snake? Now, as I looked at this, there was a few points. The first point that I found is what you do when you get bit by a snake is, number one, they first talk about stay away from snakes. It's kind of a good point, right? How about this? Stay away from snakes. Stay away from snaky people. It's going to be beneficial to your life if you can stay away from people who all they do is just bite and gossip. Now, this is what I've learned. Now, it's funny because everybody wants to be in the know. Well, I want to know what's going on. I want to know this. I want to know that. But you got to be very, very careful with snaky people, because they know things. It doesn't mean that they know truth. They may know things. It doesn't mean they know truth. So what I have found is that people who have a lot of junk are always looking for a garbage can. And if you're not careful, people carrying junk will put the junk on you. Not because you're a junk person, you're a junk man or a junk woman. It's just because you're an open garbage can. So you got to be very careful of the junk. The first thing to do is stay away from snakes. Look at the person next to you. Tell them, stay away from snakes. See, in this life, there will be snakes. You know what I've learned about snakes is that snakes are deceptive. The Bible speaks about snakes a lot. Matter of fact, it even calls our enemy that he is a serpent. Is a snake. See, my friends, there are some relationships that you're going to find with people that they're very snaky. See, this is what I've learned. Now, being in ministry a long time, being in church a long time, when you get saved, one of the first things that you hear is we tell people a lot. We say, hey, lift your hands, love the Lord, give to God. But also be careful of your past relationships. Now, some people there, and I hear this a lot, they go, oh, Victory Outreach, they're in a cult. And we're not in a cult. We're not a cult. It's just we're telling you for your own good. Be very, very careful, because the people that you used to hang around with, if you're not careful, all they do is bite you. All they do is backbite you. Put it like this. Let me put it to you like this. If somebody's always talking to you about someone else, guess what happens when they go to that someone else? They're probably talking about... If they could talk freely about you to someone else, then more than likely, they could talk freely to someone else about you. And so one of the reasons why, when I got saved, nobody really had to tell me. I just knew within my life, I do not want to strain my relationship. I do not want to cut off or sever this tie that I got with God. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have to cut off a few snaky people. I'm going to have to cut off a few people that don't belong in my life. All they do is spread poison. I don't need poison in my life anymore. I want the Holy Ghost. So I had to make a choice to get a hold of God. Now, one of the things that I love is as I got saved, and this is why it's great to have my brother here with me, is that when I got saved, one of the things that I loved is I loved listening to the Dog Pound. I'm not going to lie to you. I love Snoop D-O-double-G. What up? For Rizzo, my nizzle. Music was my thing. For some of you, music was your thing. I mean, you could be in a horrible, horrible mood. I mean, everything stinks. This food stinks. Who are you? You're my son. You stink. You're there. My wife, you stink. Everybody just stinks. But then you put on your jam. Everybody be quiet. It's my jam right here. Oh, that's my jam. Hey. Because music can change everything. You know what I have found? Is that the enemy is deceptive through music. And he can use your jam to put poison in your heart. So when I got saved, I had to cut off my jam. Because to me, I was listening to it. It was like nothing to me. I used to sing these songs like it was nothing. And I would hear these songs. I'd be like, yeah. And then when I got saved, I started singing them. And I go, hey, what? My mind's telling me no, but my body is wait a second. Hold on one second. I'm only 15 years old. What am I talking about right now? Some of you be singing that song and you were single. You shouldn't be singing that song as a single. But see, it's poisonous. You don't know that. What's wrong with that? I would sing these songs from the dog pound. When I met you last night. Like, what in the world am I singing? I'm 15 years old singing these songs about somebody I ain't never met before. Poison. Matter of fact, there's a song called Put. Not just a big back and a smile, that girl is. Okay, all right, come back. Hallelujah. Sing it again. Because you got to be very careful. To you, it just seems like it's no big deal. What's the big deal? It's just a song. What's the big deal? It's just my friend's house. What's the big, like, you got to be very, very careful. Because even there, you go to your friend's house, everything is great. But the moment they open up that fridge, it's just one beer. It's just one. What's the big deal? It's not a big deal. It's just one. I only took one hit. What's the big deal? I just gave her one text. I only shot her one text. That's all. It was just one text. It was just one direct message. I only DM'd her. I only DM'd him once. You better be very careful with what you DM on that smartphone. Some people be doing some dumb things on a smartphone. You got to be very, I've seen some divorces over Facebook. You got to be very careful with that thing. That thing is deceptive. You may not think so. So that's why, number one, stay away from snakes. Some of you, if you've got to get rid of your account, you got to get rid of certain people, you got to get rid of certain places, you got to get rid of certain music, whatever you got to do, but you got to say, God, I don't want to sever this relationship. Me and you, we're together, and I'm going to stay away from snakes. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Number two, this is what I found. Number two, avoid areas of tall grass and brush. The reason why you need to avoid tall grass and brush is because these are the areas that snakes like to hide. The secret places make for great concealment until it's time to strike. It also says, do not put your hands and feet in dark holes or crevices. Snakes like to hide in the dark, much like secret sins. Now, I myself, as you could tell, I love music. I had my experience of Pitbull right now. I felt like I was Pitbull. I had a suit on and rapping. Dale! I love to dance. I've been taking it easy. I actually love to dance. My sister is a professional choreographer. She does choreography. Stephanie, me and my sister, we grew up dancing. My mom, we got rhythm in us. The rhythm is going to get you. That's just the way that it is. So I just love dancing. I love all types of dancing, whether it's salsa, whether it's merengue, whether it's hip-hop. They do it all. I love it all. I do, even with the break dancing. This guy still does it. I stopped. But I would do a lot of floor movements, the spinning. I love dancing. So when I got saved, I had to do my best to stay away from the places that were dark. You ever notice that in clubs, you go to clubs and they're very, very, very dark? There's a few reasons why they're dark. Because when they're dark, you can get as drunk as you want, but you can dance like Janet Jackson. In your mind, you're like, oh, Michael ain't got nothing on me. Because you're drunk and it's dark and ain't nobody know. Hey, what's up, man? I mean, you're just like, yeah. I feel the best. The problem is you feel the best, but you wake up feeling the worst. Those dark places can take you places that you don't want to go down. You got to be very, very careful of those secret sins. You have to be very careful. Now, this is what's very important. Now, I did a study on it. It's not really here, but I've done a study on pornography in the church. We don't talk about it a whole lot, but I'm telling you, pornography is crazy. Now, this is the crazy thing. As I did a study and research on it, I thought, and this was just when I first started, I was like, yeah, well, it's prevalent with men. You know what I found? It is more and more prevalent with women, married women. No, there's no way. And I did research. You can research it for yourself. It's starting to become, what's the big deal? That's the phrase, what's the big deal? It's not a big deal. Who cares? And if you're not careful, that little secret sin on your phone, nobody knows. Nobody knows what's on that computer. Nobody sees it. Matter of fact, that's why a lot of times people put a computer in a dark place. Don't want nobody to see. You know, for me, you know what I've done? I have my computer right there out in the open. Not because, well, what are you doing, Pastor? No. I want everybody to see what I'm doing. I don't want nobody. I want my kids to see that when they see daddy praying. They see daddy studying on his computer. That's what they see. They don't see anything else but daddy worshiping the Lord. And if you're not careful, those little secret sins will come out of that computer and they'll bite your heart. And the next thing you know, Pastor, I don't know what happened. It just happened out of nowhere. And then here's Pastor Danny. Come on, brother. But really, it started with that bite of that secret sin about 3 months ago, 4 months ago. And see, that's why you got to stay away from tall grass. Stay away from those secret places that nobody knows about. And say, you know what, God? I don't want to be anymore. I want to get in your place. I want to come to the house of worship where I can come and lift my hands and know that me and you, we've got an intimate relationship. And I want everybody to see that me and you have this personal relationship. Stay away from those dark places. Number three. Stay alert. Stay alert. If you're going to stay in this battle, you must stay active. Stay watchful, the Bible says. Stay awake, the Bible says. You know what I've learned is that when it comes to being in this Christian walk, you are at one time, you're going to get weary. You're going to get weary. You stay here long enough, you're going to get weary. But that's why the Bible says, keep going strong, even in doing weary, even in being weary, keep going strong, keep doing good, keep fighting the fight, keep finishing the race, keep going. My friend, if you're here this morning, Pastor, I'm just feeling a little weak right now. Keep going. Stay awake. Stay watchful. Now, if you're here this morning, say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've been going through. You know what you need to do? Get a prayer partner and help you to stay watch. Get somebody else that can help you keep watch. You know why? Because you don't have eyes in the back of your head. You need somebody. That's why it's called a back-to-back partner for those of you that are married. Back-to-back. So you're looking this way, she's looking that way, and no one can come into your marriage. No one can come and take out your children. Stay watchful. You know what I've learned right now? I don't know if it's come over here to New Mexico, but they're in California. Oh, my gosh. Pray for us in California. We need Jesus, man. I'm serious. And not just California, the Bay Area. Bay Area is even worse. Boston, New York, and San Francisco, I'm just telling you, we are so liberal. We are like liberal of liberal of liberals over there. Stupid stuff, man. Dumb stuff. And now our governor, oh my gosh. You guys may not know who our governor is. Our governor was the mayor of San Francisco, Gavin Newsom. He used to be. And Gavin Newsom hates the churches. He has verbally said it from his mouth that he doesn't like it. What he has said is that he said, I'm going to stop everything that I can from the church having their tax exempt and keeping them from growing. That's what he has said. He doesn't like the church. Now he's our governor. So believe me when I say the enemy is trying his best to take out California. Now when I say that, it's because when I take my kids to school, having these gender-neutral bathrooms, that's how it just starts. Now they're teaching them. This it's happening. I don't know if it's here, but it's happening in the California state. It's still, I'm not sure if it passed yet. I hope it didn't pass. But they're still trying to teach sex ed to 4- and 5-year-olds. And that not just sex ed, not just about sex. They want to teach them how to have sex with another little boy. As a boy. See, this is stuff that years ago, we go, oh, that would never happen. You get bit by a snake, wait for the poison, take a few years, it'll get you. It'll get you. See, that's why it's very important. Listen to me, church. I know that I'm saying I'm in California, but this stuff goes all over the United States. It's not just for California. And if you're not careful, if you're not watchful, if you're not praying, if you're not on your knees, if you're not worshiping the Lord, the enemy could come in. That's why, listen to me, Victory Outreach Albuquerque, we need men and women who are going to stay watchful, stay alert, and say, hey, as for me and my house, ain't nobody going to come up in here and bite this church. Not now, not ever, not my pastors, not today. I am going to be on the wall watching. We need men and women who are going to be watchful. Look at your neighbor and say, be watchful. Then it says, wear protective clothing when you are in the wilderness. Wear protective clothing. Doesn't that sound like wear the full armor of God? Keep your helmet on so you don't get bit. Right? Keep your belt on so nobody can lie to you. Make sure to keep your breastplate on so that your heart can't get poisoned. Right? Keep your shoes on, the gospel of peace. You know what I found? I was looking at this, and something really got me when it came to the gospel of peace. Now, there are two reasons that you need peace if you ever get bit. Now, for those of you who've ever gotten bit before spiritually, listen to me. Two words. Stay calm. Stay calm. It's very, I know you're like, what? Everybody knows that. You may think everybody knows that, but they really don't. But listen to me. Stay calm. Look at your neighbor and say, stay calm. The first reason why you need to stay calm if you ever get bit is because if you're not calm and you're going crazy, you could get bit again. That's the first reason. So if I were you, one snake bite is better than two. Stay calm. Oh, pastor, oh, you got to see what... Just stay calm. Just stay calm. Oh, but you don't know what just happened. Just stay calm. It's going to be all right. Keep breathing. My father used to always say, as long as you're breathing, there's hope. Don't worry about it. You're going to be fine. You're going to be all right. My wife waited 40 years to meet her mom. I'm sure you can wait 40 minutes for a burrito. Just chill. Just stay calm. We live in a generation that we want everything now. I want to get married now. I want money now. I want this. Just stay calm. You're going to be all right. Just keep breathing. Look at your neighbor and say, just keep breathing. The second reason why you need to stay calm after getting bit by a snake is because of the spread of any venom. Now, contrary to common belief, whenever you watch movies, whenever somebody gets bit by a snake, everybody always thinks, oh my gosh, they got bit by a snake. Cut off their arm. You ever seen that? Or they're like, hey, you know, put their arm because the blood. Actually, venom doesn't spread by blood. Venom spreads by the lymphatic system, not the circulatory system. This is very important. Watch this. The reason why is because what venom will do, and they tell you to stay calm. If you ever get bit, and you'll see people, they'll get a tourniquet, Ryan, they'll put it right there. Oh, okay. What they're trying to say is this. You need to stay calm because venom jumps from muscle to muscle. It doesn't go from bloodstream. It jumps from muscle to muscle. And the purpose of venom is to make its way to your neck to choke you. And so the way venom works is that when it comes and it bites you, it jumps from one muscle to the next. So in other words, the more movement you have, the more muscles get attacked. So if you're not careful, you may think, well, I'm doing a whole lot of movement, but really you're attacking your faith muscles. You're attacking your giving muscles. You're attacking, and you may think, well, I'm doing a whole lot of stuff, but some of you got to be careful because you've already been bit. And so that's why the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Now, you don't hear this from a lot of pastors, but I tell this to my church all the time. And I tell them this. I said, look, when the basket goes around, when you put money into that basket, if you're not cheerful, don't give it. I really do. I've heard some pastors say, well, God loves mad money. And I get that. I understand that. But for me, you got to be very, very careful, because I know a lot of people that have given mad, and all of a sudden, months go by, and they go, well, I gave to that church. They owe me. Like, wait, hold on 1 second. You're not understanding. You didn't give to the church. You gave to God. But see, people who've been bit, they put money in the basket. Yeah, we're going to see what happens to this money. What are they going to do? They're going to buy lights with that. I wonder what they're going to do with it. Like, whoa. That's why it's better. Just keep the money in your pocket. Just keep it there. It's fine. It's okay. The church will survive without your money. You'll be fine. You'll be okay. We'll be all right. We don't need it like that. It's not that big of a deal. My God, He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Trust me. We'll be fine. God's been doing this a whole lot longer than you've been alive. I'm pretty sure He can keep the kingdom flowing with the people who want to be used. I'm pretty sure it'll be okay. And if you're not careful, your muscles can get poisoned. At one time, you had large faith, great faith. But because you got bit by some, what do they think they're doing over there at that church? You don't belong at that church. That's a cholo church. That's a Mexican church. What are you doing over there? You a brother. What you doing over there, brother? You belong over here with us. Hey. They don't do that. They do a hey. What you doing over there? You white. White people belong over here. No. You Asian. Asian people belong over here. Why don't we just separate? And I'm going to tell you right now. If you think like that, you're going to have a very tough time in heaven. Because the Bible says that there's going to be every race in heaven. Every single race known to man will be in heaven, lifting their hands and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It doesn't matter if you're Mexican. It doesn't matter if you're African. It doesn't matter if you're Caucasian. It doesn't matter if you're Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, or any East. All that matters is that you come here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All that race stuff, man. Believe me, being in the Bay Area, we got every race, and I see all this stuff. Trump's a racist. This guy's a racist, and all they're doing is trying to play the race card. I'm gonna tell you right now, I am a part of the race, the human race, and I'm gonna run this race, and I'm gonna finish this race, and I'm gonna finish strong. So I want to challenge some of you that maybe you'd have, no, blacks hang out with the blacks. That's what our drama's all about. If you noticed. We have the black gang, the white gang, the Filipino gang, the Mexican gang. That's kind of how it is over there within the Bay Area. But then they mix together. And you know what? Want to know the crazy thing? Is that the gangs have no problem coming together under money. They have no problem with that. They'll come together for money in the Bay Area. But you know what's funny is that churches won't come together under the banner of Christ. Who bit you? Right? I know you've seen it traveling all over the place. All these different churches. Oh, no, it's the black church. No, it's the white church. Oh, that's the brown church. Oh, it's the, why do we do that? That's why I love coming to churches like Victory Outreach Albuquerque. I see every race. Oh, I love me some. I love me some pupusas. Come on now. Give me a little bit of sopapillas. Hey, I'll take some collard greens and throw it up in there. I'll get a little T-bone, a little rump roast. Let's get this bad boy going right here. I love it. I love it. Try it all. Get it all. Get everything. I want to challenge some of you that, it's just Mexicans. Get out of that. I want to challenge you. Get out of that. Don't allow the culture to bite you and keep you kept in that place. Interject the gospel into your culture and watch what God can do. Can I hear an amen? Come on. Can I hear an amen? Give the Lord a hand of praise. As she comes to the piano right now. The last thing that I've learned, and this is funny, when I read it, I go, this doesn't make any sense, but it's true. The last thing when it comes to don't getting bit by a snake is Don't have venomous snakes as pets. Sounds hilarious, right? Like, that makes no sense. 95% of snake bites are by people who own snakes or who have tried to pet a snake. Oh, but I love my pet pride. I love this pride. Just me and you, pride. It's the best. It's just the best. Oh, my pet lust. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. So many snake bites happen with people who keep them as pets. Listen to me. It's very important that you understand what the Apostle Paul was saying. The old has gone. The old is no more. That's not you anymore. You don't talk like that. You don't walk like that. You don't look like that. That's not you anymore. You know, it was a trip. I would hear my father's testimony. And he would share that when he first got saved, he kept two things when he got saved. He goes, I gave up everything to the Lord. But he kept two things. He kept his beanie, because that beanie was his everything. Being out there homeless, I mean, you gotta, you know, keep it on, stay warm. But for him, it was a sense of pride, because that was the hood to him, his beanie. And also was his prison socks, his blues. That's what he would say. So whenever he'd be going through it, he would just look at his socks and he goes, okay, well, I've been to prison, so I'm a bad guy. That's what he would think. He would look at something that would remind him of his past and say, you know what? You are a bad man. You are a bad person. That was his pet snake, was his socks. And he always held on to him, always held on to him. That was his reputation. This is who he was. Now, for him, it was just socks. For some of you, it ain't socks. For some of you, you love that nickname that people called you. I don't know what your nickname was in the streets. I have no idea. But that's what the streets called you. That's what the streets nicknamed you. But that's not who God called you to be. God didn't call you that. The streets called you that. Listen to me. I understand who I'm talking to and where I'm at. And the kind of people that we were. But you got to know something. Listen to me, Victory Outreach. The old has gone. The new has come. That's why when Pastor Danny was introducing T-Bone and he was talking about so many different rappers, they come and they stick to that one thing. And then when that one thing doesn't work anymore, they go, oh, see, well, people don't like it. No, it's not that people don't like it. It's you got to change. You've got to change. See, people always ask me, say, Pastor, why do you wear ties to church? Do you have to wear ties? I say, no, look, the Holy Ghost is not in a tie. Trust me, he's not in a tie. But I like to wear ties. It's just a personal thing. I personally just like to wear a tie because I think, hey, I want to look my best for God. That's it. If Pitbull can wear a suit when he raps, why can't I wear a suit when I preach? If these businessmen can go and make million-dollar deals and wear a suit, why can't I come and see a million people saved and wear a suit? Why not? Don't get mad at me because I look better than George Clooney in a suit. That's what my wife says. You gotta wear a tie. You gotta wear a suit. No, look, you don't have to do anything. Matter of fact, you don't have to come to church. You don't have to lift your hands. You don't have to sing the song. Prayerfully, when you come to church, God will change your want-tos. I want to come to church. I want to lift my hands. I want to dress nice. That's it. I just want to. Don't have to. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to. Matter of fact, come as you are. But prayerfully, you're going to leave how God wants you to be. That's all it is. So the Bible says that Paul, when he got bit, he shook it off. And when he shook it off, the Bible says he suffered no ill effects. Some of you right now, maybe you've gotten bit by your friends from the past. Maybe you've gotten bit by things that have happened from the past. Maybe some of you, you're coming back to Victory Outreach Albuquerque. You used to be in Victory Outreach Albuquerque, but you left years ago for whatever reason. Maybe you got bit by somebody, but all of a sudden you're back now. In order for you to come back and stay back, you know what you got to do? Shake it off. Just shake it off. I know the past was there, but shake it off. I know somebody talking bad about you, but shake it off. I know it doesn't look like you got it all together, but shake it off. It doesn't look good. Not everything is perfect, but my friend, all you got to do is just shake it off. Shake off that past. Shake off that rent. Shake off the old thing and watch what God will do with you in the future. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Come on, stand with me and give the Lord a hand of praise. Some of you got to shake it off. You got to just shake it off. You know why it's difficult? Sometimes you'll hear the worship leader, they'll come up here and they'll say, lift your hands. And you know why you can't lift your hands, many of you? You got bit. The enemy wants to stop your worship. That's why it's hard for you. At least I'm here. Look, I don't know about you, but I didn't come here to give God my least. Come on now. You know what church is? Church is a dress rehearsal for heaven. And if you have a hard time worshiping here in church, you're going to have a difficult time in heaven. I mean, it's going to be real difficult for you right now. I'm just telling you. You're going to be dancing, singing, and eating for forever. That's what the Bible says. I don't have time to get into it, but just know that. You're going to be dancing a lot. You're going to be singing a lot. You're going to be eating a lot. This is a great thing. You're going to eat a lot and you're not going to gain any weight. Hallelujah. Shatta. Did you feel the Spirit on that one? You felt the Spirit on that one? But you're going to be worshiping. And for some of you, maybe you got bit some time ago. I don't know how you got bit. I don't know who bit you. I don't know who told you that, nah, just go to church. You don't have to worship. You don't have to sing. You don't have to lift your hands. No, actually, you do. You need to get that in your spirit. Because you're in a good climate right now. This is the atmosphere of change. This is the atmosphere of worship. You're going to go out there and snakes are going to try to bite you. If I were you, I would get it right now so that you could take this climate, you could take this atmosphere wherever you go. You could be in your job. You could lift your hands. You could be at the ballpark. You could lift your hands. You could be at the grocery store. You could lift your hands. You could be in your school. You could lift your hands. It does not matter. All I want to do is worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, lift your hands on me here today. Come on, lift your hands on me here today. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. We worship you now. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
There is power.
If that's you here this morning and you say, you know what? I want to take this. I want to take what God has given me and no one else going to take it away. Ain't no snake going to take it. My boss ain't going to take it. My family ain't going to take it. Money ain't going to take it. I need you to get out of your seat. I want you to come right here to this altar and let's worship the Lord together. Let's say, God, we're giving it all to you. Come on, get close to that fire. Get close to the fire. Get close to the fire. Get close to the fire. Get out of the cold into the fire.